Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks.
I hear your house is almost finished, your house in Michigan.
Yes, we have a couple guys. If you hear some banging and hammering in the background, that's what it is. But I've tried to close all the doors and wall myself off. So, we're pleased to be finishing. Anyone who's built a house knows that there's a labor process involved, and it can be sometimes nearly as painful. So we're almost done.
Yeah. Anyways, this week we're going to talk about vitamin B. Mm-hmm. And as listeners know, there is an association between a high homocysteine levels and B. There's been the demonstration of the ability of vitamin B to reduce plasma concentrations of homocysteine, but we've had disappointment in the use of vitamin B to treat or prevent cardiovascular disease and renal disease. So as is often the case, there are a bunch of vitamin B zealots who are looking for other uses of vitamin B. This week, this is a study that was published in JAMA. It asks the question, are high-dose vitamin Bs beneficial for adults with diabetic nephropathy? Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, with apologies to Yoda, stubborn they are, these researchers. Find a benefit, we will. You know, they just can't give up. And like you said, we know from previous randomized trials that supplemental folic acid and B vitamins just have not been helpful, even in patients at very high risk of cardiovascular disease, like folks who've just had a stent put in, things like that, or in patients with chronic renal failure. In this study, they identified 240 patients with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and nephropathy, so that means they had at least 300 milligrams a day of urinary albumin excretion. They randomized them to either folic acid 2.5 milligrams, pyridoxine 25 milligrams, or cyanocobalamin 1 milligram, or placebo. And they did the study right. Everything was everybody was blinded. Allocation of groups was concealed. Analysis was by intention to treat. They had good follow-up. 96% of the patients were followed for a median of 32 months, so that's long enough for things to happen and outcomes to occur. Now, the intervention did work in a disease-oriented kind of way. The plasma homocysteine levels were significantly lower in the intervention group and not in the control group, so it did what you would expect physiologically. Unfortunately, the patients in the B vitamin group also had a significantly greater reduction in the GFR compared to patients in the control group. Now, I mean, last time I checked, what you want is no reduction in the GFR, or maybe improvement in the GFR. There was no difference in the need for dialysis between groups, and the patients who got the B vitamin actually had an increased risk of the composite outcome of acute MI, stroke, and death. Number needed to treat for that all bad things outcome was 11, which is, you know, pretty bad, actually. So bottom line is that this somewhat small but well-designed study with good follow-up found that high-dose B vitamins are not helpful and may actually be harmful for patients with type 1 or type 2 diabetic nephropathy.
So is that the nail in the coffin for high-dose vitamin B, at least to prevent chronic disease?
You know, I'm sure that someone's going to say that, well, no, in Scandinavians who eat lots of fish, or, you know, in right. You know, Mediterranean people who don't eat any fish, that maybe there's a benefit or something like that. But, I mean, really, we have not seen a single, as far as I know, positive randomized controlled trial of this high-dose vitamin, you know, B vitamin supplement for cardiovascular disease, so or you know, renal disease in this case, or vascular disease in general. So yeah, I just put it on the shelf and label it "Do not use." Just does not seem to be helpful. I mean, obviously there's a difference. There are folks who are, you know, vitamin deficient. I'm not saying don't treat that, but as a therapy for, you know, sort of all comers to prevent cardiovascular disease, or for folks who just happen to have a high homocysteine, does not seem to be beneficial.
Great. I mean, we've got our patients here in California. I suspect you and Georgia have fewer of them, but nonetheless,
I'm in a college town, if I know where you're headed. So, yeah, we have plenty.
Right. It doesn't matter what the studies show that they're going to still take there. Anyways, but at least we can be assured that we shouldn't be recommending this to our patients.
We shouldn't. And, you know, I guess the question is, do you actively unrecommend it? Because this study and some others have shown harm of these very high-dose vitamins. And, you know, these are not physiologic doses. These are much higher than you could get in your diet ordinarily. And so, you know, this is treating the vitamins like a drug in a way by giving very super physiologic doses. And that turns out to not be a good thing for some folks.
Right. Interesting is that the FDA doesn't regulate those kinds of uses, super high doses.
Yeah, that's true. They don't. Maybe they should, but they don't, and they probably won't, given the political power of the supplement industry.
Anyways, we'll talk next week. Thanks, Mark, for your advice. We'll look forward to talking next week on Colchicine.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.